In Andrew Peterson's song, "Is He Worthy?" we sing, "Do you feel the world is broken?" We sing, "Do you feel the shadows deepen? Do you wish that it could all be made new?" And we do feel like our world is broken. We feel vulnerable. We feel uncertain. And this is especially true if we or someone we know has contracted the coronavirus or has lost their job during this crisis. We sang, "Is all creation groaning?" And in this COVID-19 world, as scripture says, creation is groaning. Like a woman in labor, creation longs for a new world to be born. And we yearn to be free. We want to have the freedom to go to people we love and see them not on a Zoom platform, but in person. We've got an 11-year-old son named Joey. He's out of school, of course, right now. And he's got a lot of energy. He's pretty restless. He's bored right now. And so pretty much every day we go on a run. And we recently went on a run through Douglas Park, which is not far from our home. And as we were running, we came across my mother, his grandmother, by surprise. And Joey made his way toward her, and my mom, who's usually really welcoming, put up her hands and said, "Remember the 6-foot physical distancing rule." We live in a strange world where a grandson cannot embrace his grandmother. And we are longing for freedom. We are yearning for a vaccine. About the greatest news we could hear right now is that the vaccine has been discovered. Can you imagine hearing the news that the cure has been found? But there is a virus in our world that is actually more deadly than the coronavirus and more widespread. It's a virus that has affected every last human being on the planet. It's a virus that causes us to be fearful and self-absorbed and to hoard. It's a virus that damages us and our relationships. It's a virus that causes 100% of human beings to experience death and eternal death. It is the sin virus. Jesus Christ, during his ministry, made the audacious claim that he could cure this most deadly of viruses, that he could crush this spiritual disease, that in a manner of speaking, he could come up with the vaccine for this virus. And his doubters said, "Prove it." And Jesus responded by saying, "Destroy this temple," meaning his body, "and I will rebuild it in 3 days. And then on a Friday that is now known as Good Friday, Jesus was savagely beaten and whipped to the point where his face became like a mask of blood. And then he was nailed to a Roman cross. He was crucified. He died the most excruciatingly painful, horrifically degrading death possible. And it's important to note that Rome reserved this style of execution only for its slaves. No Roman citizen would ever be crucified. Only for its slaves that had committed the worst kind of crimes as a way to try to obliterate, to blot out their memory from the earth. In fact, up until Jesus Christ, though Rome had crucified literally thousands and tens of thousands of people, we do not know the name of a single crucified person. Spartacus, as far as we know, was not crucified. And if Jesus Christ had not experienced something extraordinary on that first Easter Sunday, we would not remember his name. But we do remember his name. In fact, his name is more famous than any other name. Right now, about a third of the human race claims to follow him. And even with COVID-19, billions of people around the world today will celebrate him and worship him. It's also interesting to note that when Jesus Christ was being beaten and whipped and being disfigured and then nailed to a Roman cross, his students, his disciples, fled. They went into voluntary self-isolation, cowering in fear. But 3 days later, as they report in the Gospels, they saw Jesus. And Jesus did not appear like Rocky did after he was pummeled by Apollo Creed in Rocky I. Jesus, according to the Gospel of Matthew, according to this eyewitness, had an appearance like lightning. He was dazzling. And Jesus' followers were absolutely convinced that God had raised him from the dead, so much so that every single one of them, with the exception of John, who died a natural death on the Isle of Patmos, would die a martyr's death for their belief that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, was the Messiah, was the Savior of the world. If they had any doubt of that fact, they would not have died for that belief. When God raised Jesus Christ from the dead that first Easter, God was saying that Jesus Christ has the cure for the sin virus. He has secured the vaccine. It's been paid for with his life. And now the cure for the sin virus, the vaccine, is freely offered as a gift to all who would receive it. And if you want, you can receive the gift of the forgiveness of your sins and the breaking of the sin virus in you through Jesus Christ's work, which was validated by God as God raised him from the dead. The good news of Easter, the great news of Easter, is not the stock market has risen. The good news of Easter is not that the airlines have risen. The good news of Easter is not that my retirement portfolio has risen. The good news of Easter is that he is risen. He is risen indeed. And how does Christ risen inspire hope for us this Easter? Well, it inspires hope for us as we face this pandemic. When people go through a pandemic, they become more aware of their vulnerability to disease, as we're seeing. They become more conscious and afraid of death itself. But if God has raised Christ from the dead, if Christ has conquered the grave, of course, we still engage in physical distancing during this time. We pray that God would deliver us from this plague. We support the work, the important work of scientific and medical research for a vaccine. And we do all we can to stay healthy and foster the health of others. But we do not fear death because Christ has conquered the grave. And if Christ is risen from the dead, we can believe Jesus when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever believes in me will never die. Whoever believes in me will receive the life that never dies." And that can inspire us with hope in the face of death. When my own father was dying back in 2015, I remember driving to go see him at his home in North Vancouver. Came into his house for what would be my last visit. I didn't know it at the time, of course. I walked into his room. I stood by his bedside and I held his hand. And I said, "Eistemas, I love you." And my dad responded by saying, "Ureshi desu. I am happy." Those would prove to be his last words. And not long after, he died. And his death was bittersweet for me. Bitter for obvious reasons, but also strangely sweet. Because my dad had been suffering for some time with blindness, with diabetes, Parkinson's disease, a host of physical ailments. He could hardly walk. And I knew that through his death, he was being set free. And he was entering into this new world, glorious beyond our imagining. And when our friend Daryl Johnson spoke at his memorial service in this space, Daryl said these words: "Jesus came for Mr. Akira Shigematsu, my father, on September 18th, 2015. And Daryl said that Jesus unhooked the yoke that bound his neck, that Jesus unlocked the chains that bound his wrists and his feet, that Jesus pulled up the stakes, that Jesus untied the ropes, and Jesus took Dad through the veil into the next world. And I want you to know that if you will place your life into the hands of the one who conquered death, that one day, as you face death, you will close your eyes and Jesus will carry you through the veil to the next world. He will. And if you have loved ones that have gone before you, you can live with the hope that you will see them once again. Every morning, as I did this morning, while it's still dark, I go out for a run with our golden retriever through our neighborhood. And every morning, as I did this morning, I thank God for my dad, because my dad continues to influence me beyond the grave. And I live with the hope that one day I shall see him again because of the resurrection. And so part of what Easter does is that it inspires us with hope in the face of death. And Easter also inspires us with hope in the face of life itself. Last week, I talked about how God, in the crucifixion of Jesus, was able to take the darkest, most painful, the worst moment in human history and turn it into the most beautiful, glorious, life-imparting gift the world has ever known. And if God did that for Jesus and for you, out of love for you, if God is that creatively powerful, he can take the worst moments in your life, the worst moments in the world, and undo them and turn them into something good and beautiful. There's someone in our community that I've been thinking a lot about. He's a young man with a very serious disease. It's not COVID-19. It's a chronic illness that is treatable, but not curable. He's on disability leave from his work, and he works for one of Canada's major airlines, and so he's not sure if he'll have a job tomorrow. And he's understandably in anguish. I don't want to in any way minimize my friend's pain, nor yours. But as we look at the cross of Christ and what God did on Easter Sunday, we can believe that God can take the worst things in our life, as adults, as children, the worst things in the world, and redeem them into something dazzlingly glorious. I was reminded of this possibility today in a way that I wasn't hoping to be reminded of. So Joey's out of school right now, as I mentioned, he's 11 years old. And we've got this really old MacBook Air at home, and it's slow as anything. And Joey's a little restless and bored, so I wanted to speed it up for him. And so I go downstairs, I open up the computer, the laptop, and I notice that there are about 5,700 files on the computer. I don't have time to check them all. I figure, I don't need any of these files. It's an old computer. I highlight them all, delete them, put them in the trash can, and then hit empty trash. A little while later, I realized that my old personal computer is actually synced to my current work computer. I go to my desk, and I realize that all of my files for the last 5 or 6 years have been deleted, including 2 book manuscripts that I've been working on. I rush downstairs, I check the garbage bin, and sure enough, it is empty, and my heart sinks. And I'm supposed to be talking about resurrection today, but I'm not sure that I believe it in this case. I'm feeling awful. I'm feeling deflated. I'm feeling like I can't preach. And I text my colleagues, Edlin and Amrit, explain the situation. A little while later, I get a text back saying, that must have been so scary, but we think the files are back. Check. I checked, and they were restored. A little Easter gift, a big Easter gift for me, early on Easter. You ever have bad dreams, or is it just me? The other day, I had this dream that our family was in Hawaii, on the island of Oahu. It was a sunny, warm day, as it often is there, but it was a dark dream because Joey went missing on one of the beaches, and I was afraid that our 11-year-old might be kidnapped and sold as a slave. And in this dream, for some reason, I don't have a rental car, I just have a bicycle. So I hop on my bike and I begin to bike around the island of Oahu, checking every beach to see if I can find my lost son. And then something startles me awake and I realize it's just a dream. It's all become untrue and I'm really happy. In The Lord of the Rings, during the final battle described in The Return of the King, Tolkien expresses a vision for our world where evil will be vanquished, where everything will be renewed. And then the ring is destroyed in Mount Doom. And Sam Gamgee wakes up from his slumber and he's surprised that he's alive. And he is surprised to see Gandalf. And he asks Gandalf the question, is everything sad going to come untrue? Sam recognizes that our world is broken. It's filled with sadness, sin, and disease. And he yearns, he groans, for this world to be made new. And in the final book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos has a vision. And he says, behold, from the throne of God, I heard a voice saying, behold, I am making all things new. And God says, I will dwell with my people and I will be their God. And I will wipe away every tear. And death and mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the old order of things has passed away. Behold, I am making all things new. And when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead that first Easter Sunday, that was the beginning of this new creation that God will complete upon Christ's return. And so what that means is that our work matters right now. that our care for this earth, our love for someone who is sick, our taking groceries to an elderly person, our welcoming the refugee, the stranger, our research into medical cures, our creation of art and beauty, our proclamation of the good news about Jesus will all somehow, in some way, make its way into the new world that God is now creating and will one day bring to fruition. And so live with hope in this lifetime and as you face death. And know that the great news of Easter is not that the markets have risen or that the GDP has risen. The great news of Easter is he is risen. He is risen indeed. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ has inspired countless people on every continent for millennia who are facing hardship and difficulty and pandemic and death. Jesus Christ has conquered the grave. And so know that Jesus Christ is your one and only hope in life and in death. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? He is. So offer him your life and praise him. Let's pray together. No matter where you are, if you'd like, you're welcome to enter into a spirit of prayer. And you can say to God, I don't understand it all, but I thank you for becoming a human being in Jesus Christ and bearing the sin virus in your body, in yourself, and breaking its power. Forgive my sins and free me from this deadly virus, that I might live with hope in the face of life and in death, that you might create something new and beautiful and glorious out of my life. Offer yourself to him and praise him, for he is worthy. Amen.